بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 21st of November in the year 2021 and الحمد لله we moved on to the 244th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu anhu. And I've reached a point where I've mentioned that Sayyidina Ali and his blessed force, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, have defeated the Khawarij. And I've mentioned that Sayyidina Ali, radiyallahu anhu, he nevertheless called them Muslims. And he said a statement which he explained himself, radiyallahu anhu, do you think that if I were to absent myself from the people, they would then have behaved in such a manner? This is in Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf 10-124, meaning I was there on the battlefield to guide you. This defeat, however, did not end the accursed Kharijites of opposition because their fitna will last. How do we know? In Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, Sayyidina Ali himself, radiallahu anhu, he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, at the end of time, there will emerge people who will be young and foolish, and they will speak as if they are the best of creation. So the critical words from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the end of time, he didn't say the time of the companions. And who are these? He described them young, and notice the Khawarij are usually young, foolish, but they speak as if they're the best of creation. And similarly, in Ahmad in his Musnad, number 6871, Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 8497 or 4-533, Nu'aym ibn Hammad in his Al-Fitan 2-532, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Al-As, radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there shall appear a group of people from my Ummah in the direction of the East. They will recite the Quran, it will not pass their throats. Every time a generation of them appears, it will be cut down. It will be cut down. It will be cut down. Abdullah added, he said this more than 10 times. Until the Dajjal appears from their last remnants. So here, our beloved Messenger mentioned that they will come from the East, i.e. Iraq. Then he said, the Quran won't pass their throats. And every time they are defeated, another will appear. Because when they are defeated, another generation appears. 10 times. Another generation. And then finally, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Dajjal appears in their last ranks. So Dajjal emerges amongst them as well. The Khawarij thus spread out in different parts of the Islamic world. And they preached lawlessness wherever they went. Their legacy can best be summed up with the fact that the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali, esteemed accursed assassin, was from this most wretched group. Only too well did they deserve the following curse from our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam: Al-Khawarij kilabun nar. The Khawarij are the dogs of the fire. This is in Ibn Majah, number 169, Sahih. Ahmad in his Musnad 4-355, 5-250. 253, 256, 269 and others. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Khawarij are nothing but the dogs of the fire. Now why did he liken them to dogs? Because dogs bark. But have they got sense? So note the likeness, the punishment fits the crime. In another report it mentions, in Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, number 37,895 or 7-555, Abdullah ibn Ahmad in his Sunnah, number 1509 or 2-634, Sa'id ibn Juhman, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, the Kharijites used to invite me to their path until I almost joined them, until the sister of Abu Bilal, I, one of the leaders of the Kharijites, saw him, I, her brother, in a dream, in the form of a shaggy black dog whose eyes were moist with tears. She thereupon said to him, may my father and mother be sacrificed for you, O Abu Bilal, what is wrong with you? that I see you in this state. He replied, after you, we turn into the dogs of the inhabitants of the fire. So let's look at this. So they invite people. That's another one of their traits. So they're doing, enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, but they're actually enjoining evil, though they don't realize. And this man said, I almost joined them. But what happened? The leader of the Khawarij at the time was Abu Bilal. Her sister had a dream. So the sister saw her brother in the dream, shaggy black dog whose eyes were moist with tears. So obviously, if you see your brother turn into a black dog, so she goes, what's happened to you? And he said, after you, we turn into the dogs of the inhabitants of the fire. So go back to the previous hadith. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? Because his words are true, because they are the dogs of the fire. So they don't enter the fire as humans. They enter the fire as dogs. So now, what is their belief? People ask, what are the beliefs of the Khawarij? To mention a few proofs to counter the incorrect belief of the Khawarij. Number one, Allah the Almighty ordered Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran, in Surah Sa'd, Surah 38, verse 26. O Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, we have indeed made you a khalif on the earth. فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. So judge you between mankind in truth and do not follow your desire, for they will mislead you from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how is this verse proving the Khawarij belief is incorrect? Because if judgment belonged exclusively to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what say did the Holy Prophet Dawood have over the man? So what does the Quran say? Allah Ta'ala told Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, we made you a khalif on the earth, meaning a ruler. He was the first king prophet. Then he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. Judge between mankind in truth. Do not follow your desire. Hang on a minute. Allah Ta'ala is the one who judges. So why is he deputized somebody else to judge on his behalf? So the Khawarij belief is nullified. They say all judgment belongs to Allah. But Allah Ta'ala is telling his prophet, you judge. Don't follow your desires. So if the judgment only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody has any say in it, the Quran is contradicting you. Secondly, a report explains this further. This is in Nasa'i, Abu Dawud Sahih. Sayyidana Shurih ibn Hani ibn Yazid radiyallahu. He relates about his father, who when he came with his people's delegation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he heard them referring to him as Abu al-Hakam, the father of judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَكَمُ وَإِلَيْهِ الْحُكْمُ فَلِمَا تُقْنَعْ أَبَا الْحَكَمُ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the judge and arbitrator, and to him is the rule. Why do they call you the father of judgment? He responded, whenever my people differ over a matter, they bring it to me. I then judge between them and both parties become pleased over my judgment. Rasulullah thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا أَحْسَنَا هَذَا فَمَا لَقَ مِنَ الْوَلَدِ. How excellent this is. What children do you have? He replied, Shurayh, Muslim and Abdullah. Rasulullah asked, who is the eldest? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He replied, Shurayh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then you are Abu Shurayh. So let's look at this. So this is a Sahih hadith in Abu Dawood and Nasai. So this delegation came, and who was the leader of the delegation? Hani ibn Yazid. Hani ibn Yazid. And his people gave him the title Abu al-Hakam, the father of judgment. So now, if judgment only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah would have said, Astaghfirullah, the father of judgment. What did he say? He goes, Allah the Almighty is the judge and arbitrator. To him is the rule. But why do they call you father of judgment? So the Sahaba said, When the people disagree, Ya Rasulullah, they bring the matter to me, I judge, and they are pleased over my judgment. Now, if that was incorrect, as the Khawarij would make you believe, Rasulullah is now duty bound to say, wrong. Judgment belongs to Allah. What did he say to that sahaba? Ma ahsana hadha. How excellent. Fama laka min al-walad. Then he asked, what is the name of your children? Shureh Muslim Abdullah, who's the oldest Shureh? He goes, your name is Abu Shureh. Now, why did he change his name? Because the people called him Abu al-Hakam, the father of judgment. That is what the Prophet didn't like. Those our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved of him judging between people. That's the key point. He approved of that. The only objection being to his kunyat, Abu al-Hakam. For al-Hakam means the judge whose rule is never rebuked. Indeed, that characteristic only applies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So two things now. So it's important when you're discussing with these people, don't get emotional. If you haven't got knowledge, ma'as salam. But people haven't got knowledge, they start talking to them. Next minute you join their ranks. So you quote the Quran to them. Dawood was told to judge. Allah Ta'ala told him. How do you explain that? Alayhi salatu wasalam. Abu al-Hakam was judging. Rasulullah said, excellent. But he just changed his name because Al-Hakam is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you have to say to that? Thirdly, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Sa'd ibn Mu'ad to judge the Banu Qurayza in the well-known incident during his life. In Bukhari and Muslim, he went through his life. The Banu Qurayza, the treacherous Jewish tribe, said, we will be happy with Sa'd's judgment. Rasulullah's duty bound to say, sorry, judgment only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Khawarij will make you believe. The Prophet accepted it. Rasulullah deputized a normal sahab, you judge. And then Sa'd came and he goes, kill them all. Kill all the males, take the females as prisoners. Khalas. And the Prophet said, you've judged according to the king. Hang in a minute. So really, have they got knowledge? If you know basics of your deen, you will never become Kharijai. But you've left the deen. And notice their recruits, oh, crackpots. Right? Jihadi John, what sort of a name is that? Fourthly, people are in need of individuals to judge amongst them. For this reason, Ali himself said, when he was talking to the Khawarij, a just word, intending by it injustice. In fact, they are only saying that there be no government. However, there must be a government, pious or impious. So what was their slogan, the Khawarij? The verse of the Quran, judgment only belongs to Allah. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, a just word. But they're intending by it injustice. Then he said, there has to be a government. They don't want a government because there'll be lawlessness without government. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn al-Hadir in his Sharh Nahj al-Balagha, volume 2, page 21. Shahristani in his Al-Milal wa Al-Nihal, volume 1, page 117. This report cannot be located in any reliable reference, but it is often quoted by scholars for its meaning is sound. So even though the sources are, you know, doubtful to say the least, the meaning is true. So note, this is their belief. Another one of their strange beliefs is that if you commit a major sin, you are unbeliever. So who wants to become you? So what if I fall into a major sin? Your blood is lawful. You're kafir. Another one of their strange beliefs, their women had to make up for the farad salat that they missed during their menstrual cycle. Because we make up the farad fasts. Fasting is not more important than salat. So they use their logic. They go, salat needs to be made up. So when their women have their monthly cycle, imagine, prema. So this is another one of their strange. They're leaving the examples, as the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To conclude this section, a most fitting report with regards to these sad, misguided souls. In Tirmidhi, number 3011, is Hassan. Ibn Majah, number 176. Ahmad in his Musnad, number 22,213. Tabarani in his Kabir, number 8,044. Bayhaqi in his Sunan, 8-188. Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 2,655. Sahih. Mishkat in the chapter on the killing of the apostates and those who cause corruption in the land. Sheikh Albani rahmatullah alayhi, in his Sahih Sunan al-Tirmidhi states, Hassan Sahih, Abu Ghalib rahmatullah alayhi, he said, Sayyidina Abu Umama radiyallahu, he saw some heads hanging on the road to Damascus. Subhanallah, it seems that Muawiyah was also sorting these wretches out. And Abu Umama said, Kilabun nar, sharru qatla, tahta adim is-sama, khayru qatla man qatalahu. These are the dogs of hell, the worst ones under killed under the sky. Conversely, the best ones killed are those killed by them. He then recited the following verse in Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verse 106. On the day when some faces will be bright and some faces will be dark. He was then asked, did you hear this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He replied, had I not heard it once, twice, three times, up to seven times, I would not have related this to you. So this is the report. So is it authentic? Yes, Tirmidhi Ibn Majah Ahmad Tabarani is Hassan Sahih. So Abu Umama is heading towards Damascus. Damascus was the capital of the Umayyads, the capital of Islam. And on the way, there's the heads of the Khawarij. So why have the authorities done that? Are you allowed to do that? And the answer is yes. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that those who cause corruption in the land, crucify them, cut off their hands and feet to deter others. So when people see it, they'll say, oof, we make sure we don't join this. So this is what the wisdom is. So they're heading, and he sees the heads, and what does he say? The dogs of hell. The worst ones killed under the sky. The best ones are killed by these. Then he recited a verse. Now think about that. Is there a verse about the Khawarij? What does Allah Ta'ala say? Surah 3 verse 106. On the day when some faces will be white and bright, some faces will be black and dark. So a man heard this. He goes, did you really hear this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he said, I've heard it seven times. Otherwise, I wouldn't have told you this. Allahu Akbar, note therefore that these misguided souls are mentioned in the Quran. Such is their fitna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves. Ameen. So now let's look at that verse. He didn't give the full verse. The full verse reads, in Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verse 105-7. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَأَخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Do not be like those who divided amongst themselves and then fell into disputations after receiving the clear guidance, for them will be an immense punishment. يَوْمَ تَبِيَدُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ اسْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. On the day when some faces will be white with joy and some faces will be black in misery, it will be said, did you go back to unbelief after belief? Taste you now the punishment for rejecting faith. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ بِيَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ فَفَفِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. But those whose faces will be white with joy, they will be engulfed in the mercy of Allah to dwell forever. So there's the context. So let's look at these three verses. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? First, he says about them, don't be like those who divided and argued after receiving guidance. So can a khawarij become khawarij when he's not a Muslim? No. He's entered after getting guidance, he's been misguided. Allah ta'ala says, for them there's going to be immense punishment. Then he says in the next verse, some faces will be white, some will be black. And it will be said to them, did you go back to unbelief after belief? Taste you now the punishment for takfurun, for rejection. And then he mentions the praise of those who've been given the brightened faces. Now what's interesting about the whole passage? It is interesting, as mentioned earlier, to note that the Almighty and Glorious similarly said about the Ahlul Kitab, the Jews and Christians, in another part of the Quran, in Surah Al-Bayyinah, Surah 98, verse 4. وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةِ Nor did the people of the book make schisms until they came to them the clear guidance. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He said the people of the book, they started making schisms, sects, when they came to them the clear guidance. Compare this to what Allah Ta'ala says about the Khawarij. So look at what Allah Ta'ala says about the people of the book. They separated, they made schisms until they came to them the guidance. About the Khawarij, Allah Ta'ala says, do not be like those who divided amongst themselves and then fell into disputations after receiving the clear guidance. For them will be an immense punishment. So Allah Ta'ala is likening them to who? The Jews and Christians. They receive guidance and they end up in misguidance. So here note, the Quran has mentioned them and also the blessed hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now what are the signs? So obviously we can't just get emotional and start saying, I think they're Khawarij. I think they're Khawarij. There are no less than over 20 outward signs of the Khawarij. So we apply the criterion to the people. If they've got these signs, they are Khawarij. So let's conclude with these signs. Number one, in Sahih Bukhari, number 653, Sahih Muslim, number 1066, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahdathul Asnan. Ahdathul Asnan. They will be young in age. Have you ever seen an old Khawarij? So if you see somebody with the Quran and he's 70, 80 years old, he's not young. It's always youngsters from Kentucky, right? Jihadi John. They'll be young in age, Bukhari and Muslim. Number two, in Sahih Bukhari, number 653, Sahih Muslim, number 1066, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sufaha'ul Ahlam. Sufaha'ul Ahlam. They will be brainwashed. Go back to what I mentioned yesterday. Your love for a thing makes you blind and deaf. They've been brainwashed. And what do they always say when they come around after they've caused havoc? You know, we weren't thinking straight. Sadaqta ya Rasulullah. The Prophet said it. Then there's tears afterwards. Too late now. They will be brainwashed, meaning they haven't got truth. They've been polluted with falsehood. Number three, Sahih Bukhari, number 4094. Sahih Muslim, number 1064. Our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Qathul Lihya. They will have thick, unkempt beards. Qathul Lihya. They will have thick, unkempt beards. So they'll have beards, but they won't be looking after it. I don't know, the other day I saw some beard, he down to his belly button, right? And I'm thinking of beard, like they all say, and everything, unkept beards, Bukhari and Muslim. And you look at him, you think, every sign. In one report, in Abdul Razak, in his Musannaf, Umar radiallahu anhu saw a man with a large unkempt beard, and he said, why do I see you like a wild animal? Thus, the obligation of keeping the beard necessitates that one looks after it, so that others are not repulsed by it. Otherwise, this is a Kharijite trait. So you get people, they've kept beards, and last night's kuri's in there. Right? And then you go, you need to get, why did you keep beard? And you look at me, what are you thinking? Did you have dal last night? Right? They go, I didn't see last night's kuri. And they go, you're mocking the beard. I'm not mocking the beard. You're mocking the beard. The symbol of Islam needs to be honored. The Khawaris don't honor the beard, unkempt. And look how symbolic that is. Outwardly, they think they're following, but they haven't understood the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, in Sahih Bukhari, number 4094, Sahih Muslim, number 1064, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mushammirul Izar. Mush'amilul izar. They will have lower garments high upon their legs. They will have lower garments high upon their legs. So what does this mean? This is from the Sunnah and should not be ignorantly belittled by blurting out to the one who does this, look at the Kharijite, look at the Wahhabi. For this in itself is unbelief. So now think about that. So that we can't fall. They keep it above their lower garment, above their ankles, or halfway to their calf. That is a sign of the Kharijites, but they're not doing anything wrong with that. Now the tragedy is this. You get the other end of the spectrum. So you see a person who's got his trousers above his ankles, and they say, and a'udhu billah, look what they start saying. Because two Wahhabi. And first you say to them, you know what Wahhab means? Right? And then they haven't got a clue. They go, oh, it means Khawarij. No. It's the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means the bestower. You've mocked his name. So shaitan's got you now. You've got to do tawbah. You might have left Islam by that statement. So note that is a sign, but we shouldn't use that to belittle anybody who's following this. The fifth sign. In Sahih Bukhari, number 7123, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَخْرُجُ نَاسًا مِنْ قِبَلِ الْمَشْرِقِ. They will emerge from the east, i.e. of the sacred sanctuaries. What is that place the Prophet was referring to? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Najd. An area for which our beloved Messenger refused to make dua. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 9/10 of all evil comes from there. 9/10, 90% of all evil comes from there. This is in Tabarani, Sahih. He refused to pray for that place. Look what happened in Iraq. Hazrat Ali got martyred. Hazrat Hassan almost got martyred. Hazrat Hussein and his entire family got martyred. And you want Rasulullah to pray for that place. He knew. He goes, I'm never going to pray for that place. 90% Khawarij. Where was their stronghold? Iraq. Nahrawan. Why is it all there? The Prophet knew that Allah alayhi wa sallam. Number 6. In Nasa'i, in his Sunan, number 4103, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La yazaluna yakhrujuna hatta yakhruju akhiruhum ma'al masihid dajjal. They will continue to appear until the last of them appears with the Antichrist. The last wave of the Khawarij, who's amongst them? Dajjal. Is a hadith which mentions that Dajjal will first be a Muslim. Think about that. But who's he amongst? The dogs of the fire. That's where he comes out from. So people say, where's Dajjal? From Washington? No. From London? Don't think so. Right? Where are you going to find him? Doing that one. With cameras. Right? And that's the last wave of the Khawarij. The Prophet goes, that's the, you know, it suits them. The Dajjal comes from them. Indicating their fitna will continue, because some people say, oh, it's gone now. Khawarij has been dealt with. No, they haven't. They're still here. Indeed, in Ibn Majah, in his Sunan, number 174, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 6781, Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 8487, Ibn Hammad in his Fitan, 2-532, relate similar. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلَّمَا خَرَجَ قَرْنًا قُطِّئ. Every time a generation of them appears, it will be cut down. أَكْثَرَ مِنْ 20 مَرَّةً. This will occur over 20 times. حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ فِي عِرَادِهِمُ الدَّجَّالِ. Until in their last remnant appears the Dajjal. The Prophet is giving you clear guidance. What did he say? Every time they appear, they'll be cut down. And isn't that always the case? What happened to Thinga ISIS? Cut down. They'll be cut down. This will occur over 20 times. Count it. Know your history. First one, Sayyidina Ali. Count it. It's going to happen more than 20 times, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Then he said, the last of them will appear, the Dajjal. The greatest fitna to hit this ummah. Open. Astaghfirullah. So I mentioned six of the signs, outward signs of the Khawarij, but I will complete it tomorrow, inshallah. So all I mentioned today was basically adding a few important things with regards to these deviants. And note, theirs will be a lasting fitna. They have not ended. The Prophet said they will keep coming in waves that Allah alayhi salam. And then I mentioned the warped belief of the Khawarij. They say that judgment only belongs to Allah. So we accept that. The Quran says that. But we don't understand it as they understand it. And then I mentioned some of the proofs to highlight their incorrect understanding. And then I mentioned, of course, now some of the outward signs. And inshallah, I will conclude with that tomorrow, if we're still alive. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصل بالحق ونواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم